This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of different things happening around Douglas County and an opportunity today to meet the new president and CEO of CHI Mercy Health, Russell Woolley. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I guess talk about your educational background and how you got into hospital management. It's not an area that a lot of people go into, honestly.
Yeah, it's a hard career to explain to my children, honestly. Yeah, thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here. Appreciate it. I would say I knew early on in my life this is what I wanted to do, which is unusual, but I grew up in a family that served in the community in a variety of ways. My mother would take us down to the homeless shelter, to the soup kitchen, and I loved that. I just grew up with that value. My father took us to minister to other families. You know, he was active in our church, and so he would take us to go and visit widows and repair toilets and change light bulbs. And anyway, I knew at an early age I needed to do something, because I learned that lesson of when you do service, it not only helps the person that's receiving the service, but it helps you to be happy and fulfilled. I learned that lesson early on in life. I served a mission for my church in Africa for 2 years in Madagascar and South Africa. And so I just knew that I had to find a career that would be fulfilling to me, where I felt like I was making a difference. So I thought about medicine. I thought about public health. I was better at finance and economics than I was at chemistry and biology. I volunteered at a local hospital when I was a teenager and met the CEO just by happenstance and shadowed him and learned more about what it was like to be a healthcare leader. And I loved it. I loved it. It was making a difference in the community. It was business. It was strategy. It was finance. It was inspiring others. It was something where you could truly make an impact in the community. And that led to school and took me out to Ann Arbor for graduate school, master's degree in healthcare management and policy, as well as an MBA in finance. That led to a residency at the Mayo Clinic and then a fellowship at the University of Colorado, where I just met wonderful leaders and mentors who helped develop that passion of mine. And then I spent the last 7 years up in Seattle. So I've just known from an early age that healthcare administration was something that I wanted to do. It was a perfect bullseye for my passion, my skill set. It's challenging, but tremendously rewarding. So I'd recommend it to anybody out there who's got those same goals and aspirations.
How has hospital management evolved since your career began?
Oh, it's changed so much. Healthcare changes so, so rapidly. Today we've seen tremendous consolidation of healthcare, and that's primarily because the economics of healthcare have changed so dramatically. The costs of labor and technology have increased so dramatically, while reimbursement primarily from Medicare, Medicaid payers has remained fairly stagnant. So hospitals have consolidated in an effort to spread fixed costs, deliver care more efficiently, improve quality, standardize processes, get better buying power. So, you know, there are each region in the country has the major integrated health systems, whereas 20 years ago, there were a bunch of smaller independent hospitals that ran on their own, and that's just not feasible anymore.
What about the high cost of technology? I mean, it's got to be staggering at the hospital level with some of the types of equipment that you guys have.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's amazing, the technology that's available, and the advances of technology are truly astounding, the things that we're able to do now. Of course, the pace of technological advancements has outpaced the ability for health systems to fund those expensive equipment. So we're certainly committed to having the highest quality and the latest technology available to the community here in Roseburg. And we make those decisions based on our capital availability and where we can invest our dollars to make the most different, make the best impact and difference in the community. But we've got robot-assisted surgery here in Roseburg. That's technology that just didn't exist, you know, a decade ago. We've got other robotic surgery that we do. We've got enhanced imaging that we do. Truly, the latest technology is here in Roseburg with the specialists that are trained on using that for exceptional outcomes for our patients. So that's great to see. Here in rural Oregon, we've got some of the best technology that's available.
What led you to coming to Mercy?
Yeah, Mercy is I didn't know too much about Roseburg, honestly. So I was living in Seattle with my family of six. I've got four children. And I knew Kelly Morgan well. He was the CEO here for many, many years and has a tremendous legacy. And he announced his retirement. And it wasn't until somebody who I know and trust said, Russ, maybe you should take a look at that opportunity, knowing who I am and knowing my values. And so we did. We came down as a family and visited the community, looked at the, you know, spent time at the parks and the river, and we attended church. And it was kind of a magical weekend for us. It just worked out really, really well. And we had a great feeling that this is what we were looking for. We didn't quite know it at the time. But the quality of life here is exceptional. It's a wonderful place to raise a family. So it just met all of our needs. You know, Seattle's a really cool place. We loved living in Seattle, but it's a place that's harder and harder to live and work and raise a family. So Douglas County and Roseburg is a hidden gem that we are just discovering. And the quality of life here is something that you can't get in those larger metropolitan cities. So it met all of the aspects of what we were looking for and really was an answer to prayers for us. And we're excited to be here.
Surely, though, you must miss a big city commute.
Yeah, the traffic is not something that I miss. Right now we're living in a home that feels like it's out of town, but it takes me 10 minutes to get into work. So it's perfect. It's the perfect, yes, but you got enough space to be there and not be on top of each other, but you're close to work.
I say that kind of as an illustration because you'll find the longer you're here that people in Roseburg complain about the traffic. And those of us who've lived in big cities, I lived in Portland, just look at them and go, what?
Exactly. That is exactly right. Just go and spend a day on the 405 and you will never want to be there.
So when did you officially start?
October 2nd.
And what was it like for this past month, just over a month now that you've been here? I'm sure walking around finding rooms that you didn't even know about sometimes.
That's right. I'm still finding out where all of the bathrooms are in the facility. So I've made an intentional effort to not spend time in my office. And I think it probably drives my assistant a little bit crazy. But my priority right now is meeting as many people as I can, absorbing as much information as I can, listening to the community, both internally and externally, on their perspectives of things, where they think our biggest priorities need to be, our biggest opportunities. I've asked people what they are proud of and what our successes are. And we've got an amazing story to tell here. This really is a gem. And of course, we've got some opportunities for improvement, and we'll get focused on those. But that's been my first month's priorities. I've met so many amazing, wonderful community members and business leaders who all seem extremely engaged and aligned in improving the quality of life of living here in Roseburg and having exceptional health care close to home. That is high on the list of quality of life. So they're mutually invested in helping us.
So what are your thoughts about the quality level of the staff, having come from Seattle, the quality level of the staff that Mercy has?
Exceptional, without hesitation. Very dedicated, very skilled. Like I said, we've got the same technology here as they do in downtown metropolitan centers. We've got specialists that are every bit as good. We've got quality and safety outcomes that are every bit as good and better than what you would find in a downtown metropolitan center. So very, very impressed.
We're going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1. Umpqua Valley Live at 4. Looking at arts, entertainment, community events. A lot of things to talk about this afternoon. And on Monday's Inside Douglas County, we're going to talk about things happening in the city of Sutherland, currently the fastest growing part of Douglas County. We'll have the mayor, the city manager, and one of the planning officials. And we'll also give you an update on the Ford's Pond project out there as well. Mercy Health CEO and President Russell Woolley in studio now. First month of the job, as you look into the rest of your first year, what are some of your goals?
Thank you. Yeah. My goal is instilling a culture in the organization where it is the best place that our team has worked. And I say that all the time. I say that publicly, that I take that seriously. My job is to make this place the best place you have ever worked. And if it's not, we need to hear about it because we want to help fix it, and we need your ideas for that. When you've got a culture where people are owners and take the sacred trust that we have as a healthcare provider so seriously, that this is our community hospital, neighbors taking care of neighbors, that results in the highest quality of care. And we will be relentlessly focused on quality, safety, patient experience, not only meeting the patient care needs, but delivering the highest quality of service as well, ensuring that we have operating efficiencies and growth. We want growth. Ultimately, we want Mercy to be the top choice for any patients in this area to receive their care, whether it be primary care or wellness prevention care or education or specialty care when they need it. So that's what we'll be focused on. Right now I'm listening and I'm learning, but quickly turning that focus internally into our own operations and evaluating and making adjustments where we need to make investments to ensure that we deliver on the promises that we have to our community.
So those goals, how does that tie in with the recently announced facility upgrade, remodeling project, whatever you want to call it?
Yep. We affectionately call it the master facility plan. So it's an evaluation of the campus and making needed investments in aging infrastructure. But it also provides some additional capacity for caring for patients. We'll be modernizing our operating rooms, enhancing and expanding our ability to serve gastroenterology patients. We're making some adjustments to the emergency department to improve efficiency and decrease wait times, and then replacing some of the equipment and the infrastructure and the facility that just needs to happen when you've got an older, aging facility, to ensure that we can continue to provide the care that we provide for decades to come. So it really is a historic moment for this community as you look at how Mercy has grown over the years. A $30 million investment is pretty significant. So coming with that is a responsibility to make sure that we spend those funds appropriately and responsibly, but show that investment the return through our outcomes and through the growth that we see.
We went through a giant remodeling project in our house a number of years ago. I don't plan to repeat it. How do you run a hospital in the middle of a construction project?
Oh, yes. Well, fortunately, we do this all the time in this industry, so we have developed ways to do that. But it certainly can be very disruptive. Fortunately, the planners and the architects and the contractors, they do this kind of work regularly. So we'll develop a plan on when we are doing construction in a particular unit. How do we make that as least disruptive as possible to the patients and the staff? Knowing, of course, when you're doing construction and remodeling, that it's disruptive. But there's processes in place for risk mitigation, for infection control, noise control, all of those kinds of things.
And I understand that part of this is driven too, not only is your infrastructure aging, but like every other industry, some of the technology is changing. Sometimes that means you need more space. Sometimes that means you need less space for an operating room or some other type of service.
Yep, that's exactly right. Well, the technology tends to not get smaller. It's getting larger and larger. So you got more equipment with the same space. And so we're always running into storage concerns and where do you store all of this equipment? But yeah, right-sizing the facility, we are not going to be adding an additional tower. That's a question that sometimes the community has. This expansion and renovation is all happening within the hospital's existing footprint.
As you look down the road, what are some of the things in terms of long-term plans?
Service line development. So I mentioned the operating efficiencies and results. So, you know, great strategy is great operations in my estimation. So we will be focused on our operations in terms of quality, safety, experience, but then service line development. So what does that mean for cardiology? What services do we provide? What do patients need? Where are they leaving the market to go get maybe subspecialty services? Same with orthopedics, gastroenterology, right? There's service line development that we do with our teams, with recruitment of specialists to ensure that we meet the patient's needs here.
As long as I've been here, I've always heard that it is difficult at times to recruit staff or maybe certain specialties in particular to a rural area. Oftentimes, a lot of doctors, it seems, would like to be in more urban areas.
Yeah, well, that's certainly the case. And my response to them is those urban areas are wonderful places to visit, and Roseburg is a better place to live and to raise a family. So, you know, like I said, we've got a hidden gem here. And, you know, I lived in Seattle for 7 years. I don't regret a day of it. It was wonderful. But there came a time when we just wanted something else. And the quality of life here is something that those metropolitan cities cannot offer. If you're only interested in making the most money possible, you know, Roseburg is not the place for you. But if you want a place where you make a good wage and you've got a great quality of life and a wonderful community that stands together, then this is it's a great place. You know, you can't find those benefits in San Francisco, in Portland, in Seattle that you have here. So we gotta lean into that. I didn't know about Roseburg, right? I didn't know about Douglas County until I came here and I saw it and I met the people here and I was sold.
How do you get Mercy more directly connected to the community?
That's a very good question. So that's one of our priorities as well, is making sure that our community is connected to Mercy. So we commit to being very transparent. We want to hear from our community. We want to hear their experiences, good or negative. We are working to integrate the patient voice into committees that we have established. We, of course, survey all of our patients, but we want active participation from the community. We want to hear from our volunteers. We want to hear from organizations. And that's how we improve. You know, our mission is to meet the needs of the community. And if you don't have that patient voice, then you're not doing that. So I'm certainly committed to doing that in maybe new ways that haven't been done before.
You mentioned coming down here and looking around a bit, but obviously getting started, you're pretty busy. How much of the overall Umpqua Valley area have you been able to see so far?
Oh, not as much as I would like. I've been so focused on work and meeting all of the people that I need to meet that I haven't not taken a lot of time. My family's still in Seattle, but they moved down here in a week and a half. So then we'll be able to spend the weekends here and go see all of the great things. So, yeah, I mean, I took my mountain bike up around Cooper Creek a couple weekends ago, and that was wonderful. What a great resource that is to this community. But we love the Oregon coast. We love the mountains. We love the river. I've spent time over at the River Forks Park. What a great asset that is for this community. So lots to do. My kids are so excited to get down here.
Any particular activities? You mentioned mountain biking. What about other things you like to do?
Yeah, I love everything outdoors. I love sports. Right now, my kids, I've got four children who are 13, 10, 10, and 6. And so a lot of my free time revolves around doing what they like to do, which is basketball, baseball, soccer, dance, music. So, yeah, that's what we do. In my free time, I help coach my kids' teams. I'm attending recitals. You know, just doing all the things that you do as a busy parent. I always tell my staff that I am a husband and a father first and a healthcare administrator second. And I hope that that gives them license to do the same. That's what's most important.
All right. Mercy Health CEO and President Russell Woolley, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
1257 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.